Chapter 9. Most of the Truth. Mark lay on his bed and looked at the ceiling. Reggie had told him all about her conversation with Truman and promised him that she would be back at the hospital at about 6. His mother and Ricky were asleep. It was now 1 p.m. He kept thinking about a movie he had once seen about a man who told mafia secrets to the FBI. The FBI didn't protect him as they had promised to, and the mafia eventually killed him. The movie ended with the words, "The mafia never forgets." Truman, Foltrig and Fink arrived at Reggie's office at exactly 3 p.m. They waited for Reggie in a small office for 45 minutes. Finally, she walked into the room. "Good afternoon, gentlemen. Reggie Love. Sorry I'm late," she said and smiled at Truman. He was clearly uncomfortable. Introductions were quickly made, and Reggie sat at one end of the table, Truman, Foltrig and Fink at the other end. "So, gentlemen, how can I help you?" Reggie asked. She didn't want to waste any time. "When can we speak to your client?" Foltrig asked. He obviously wanted to question Mark as soon as possible. "You're assuming that he's prepared to speak to you," Reggie answered. She appeared very confident, and this irritated Foltrig. "Listen, Reggie, we're convinced that Mark was in the car with Clifford before his death," Foltrig said. "I got the report from the fingerprint lab an hour ago. Mark's prints on the cola can are identical to those that were found on the gun, the door, the hose, even the whiskey bottle." Reggie listened and wrote everything in her notebook. "We've also got reason to believe that Clifford told Mark where the senator's body is buried," Foltrig continued. "Why do you think he talked to my client?" Reggie asked. "Clifford called me before his death," Fink said. "He was frightened and drunk, and he needed to talk to someone. He said something about wanting to make a deal with us. Of course, that never happened." "Reggie," said Foltrig, "it's just a possibility that he told Mark about the body, but I'll be honest with you. I need the senator's body if I hope to prove that Maldonado's guilty. If Mark knows something, I need to know." "Let's meet here tomorrow morning," Reggie said. "Will Mark be here too?" asked Foltrig quickly. "I don't know," said Reggie. She knew they were in a hurry to speak to Mark, but she wanted them to know that she was the one in control. As they left the building, Foltrig turned to Truman and said, "Find out if we can put Mark and his family into the Federal Witness Protection Program." Truman liked the idea. Maybe Reggie would let the kid talk if she knew that the FBI would protect the Sway family. Diane woke up a little after 5. Ricky was still asleep, and Mark was watching TV. "Did you talk to the FBI agent?" she asked. "Yeah, I did," Mark said. "Dr. Greenway told me about the lawyer," she said. "Why did you want one?" "Because I lied to Hardy, and I wasn't sure what to tell the FBI agent," Mark said. "I needed some legal advice." "I found Reggie's card in the cafeteria last night. Her office is really close to the hospital, so I went." "How are we going to pay her?" Diane asked nervously. "I already did," Mark said. He felt proud of this fact. "She only wanted a dollar, which was all the money I had after paying for breakfast." "A dollar?" said Diane, very surprised. "Then she can't be a good lawyer." "No, she's great," Mark said, and he told her about the meeting with Truman. "She wants to meet you. She'll be here in about an hour." Diane sensed that there was something else Mark wanted to tell her. "Have you told me everything?" she asked. Mark desperately wanted to tell his mother the rest of the story, but he didn't want to admit that he'd lied to her and the doctor.
"Well, there is something that I only remembered this morning," he said slowly.
Just then, Dr. Greenway came in. Mark decided that he should also tell him as much of the truth as he could.
"Doctor, I remembered something more about yesterday," Mark said.
The doctor suddenly looked very interested. Trying to appear as if it was still difficult to remember all the details, Mark slowly described to them everything that Ricky had seen. How Romy had pulled him, Mark, into the car, hit him, and even shot at him. Mark confessed that he and Romy had spoken, but he didn't say that Romy had told him where the senator's body was. Dr. Greenway and Diane were both shocked. Then Dr. Greenway said, "I'm surprised that you didn't remember at least some of that last night. But it helps explain Ricky's problem." Diane looked very upset, but said nothing. She believed Mark's story, but doubted that he had suddenly remembered it now. She would talk to Mark as soon as Dr. Greenway left.